Editor's Letter. Welcome to the December edition of Faith and Fellowship, the first joint magazine edition for Ardeer and Livingston. As such, we've got double the usual fun, with two treasurer's reports and even two guild updates. There's also news from various youth organisations and some interesting items from guest contributors. I hope that you enjoy this new format, and especially wish to thank the contributors from Ardeer in helping to make this a truly joint effort. I greatly appreciate the fact that I now have double the hunting grounds for articles. As I don't normally attend the Ardeer outside joint services, I rely on intimations and heavy use of the magazine email address for communication. Please don't hesitate to contact me at magazine@livingstonchurch.org.uk if there is anything you want to see in the magazine. You may have noticed that this issue has come out in colour. That's for those of you who are not listening to me reading it. This little luxury is to specially mark the launch of our joint magazine adventure, as well as to celebrate the time of year. Because of the timing of events, the Christmas fair at Livingston is now past and hopefully was as successful as the pantomime will be in the coming week. A full, as far as I am aware, list of December services can be found later in this issue. As we approach the season of Advent, I find it too easy to get caught up in the thoughts of what am I getting for this person, who is coming over and when, etc. I find it strange that, coming up to one of the most important dates in the Christian calendar, it's harder rather than easier for me to focus on my faith and values than at other times of the year. It is with conscious effort that I break through the materialistic noise of the season to reach for the truth about Christmas and the promise it holds. Hopefully, we'll all enjoy the upcoming carols, festivities and Advent services while remembering the message of Christmas. With this in mind, I wish you all a joyous Christmas.
Minister's Letter. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counsellor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and the peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establish it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of his Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Isaiah 9, verses 6 to 7. Dear friends, I'm going to acknowledge in one sentence that there have been significant challenges to us this year, specifically in terms of building. Having done that, I'm putting it aside as there is much more to see in terms of what God has been doing. My call here is to move us into a union, and in starting that process, I have been preaching around discipleship and the importance of being together. Paul writes about the importance of the unity of the body of the church and that we all have different talents, skills and abilities to bring to the body. We are one family in Christ, with Christ. As we approach Christmas and a new year, we hear a lot about family and family time. The Almighty God is our Father, and his Son, Christ Jesus, is the King and Head of the Church, and his zeal, his Holy Spirit, brings about the power and force for all our transformations as part of that family. It is our Father who gives up his Son for us and for our redemption, and we are called into his family to be part of the family and to help in the building upon the kingdom. As we glorify him and respond to the love that he has for each one of us, we begin to build in love. Love for God and love for our neighbours, including our enemies. Being part of a family means that we love those in our family, our blood relatives, our honorary family members, our adopted family members, and our brothers and sisters in Christ. These present challenges to us because we are human and sometimes we struggle to love. But it is in to love our neighbours that we are called. Our own context means that we need to bring two parts of the family in Christ together. Our presbytery plan brings us to a union. The Kirk session and meeting jointly. We've shared worship, and this newsletter is a joint newsletter. All signs of growing together. I believe there is nothing to fear here and much more to be gained as we build kingdom in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. But it does mean we will have to, albeit reluctantly, let go of some of the things we hold on to see the union form. As two congregations and as part of two families, we will pledge to God and to each other to give him the glory. Loving our neighbour means that we are also called to missional. Jesus gave us the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of age. As a family in Christ, we are called to go out and to share the good news with others. This is kingdom building. There are many who will rely on food banks and other assistances, including the gifts we bring to the worship on the 8th of December. Our calling is not just to give, but to connect with the people around us, and it could be a challenge for us. This is the up, in and out. I've used the triangle shape before to illustrate, but since we're coming up to Christmas, I thought a Christmas tree might work. Up to our God, into our families, including church families, and out to the parishes, the communities around us. Maureen and I pray that God blesses each one of you and your families this Christmas. Dave.
A letter from the moderator of the presbytery. Dear friends, a few days before being installed as moderator, I visited the readers' conference and joined them for lunch. After lunch, I was asked to introduce myself, and as I did, I mentioned I had only three more sleeps before my installation. One person remarked that as Christmas approached when he was young, he counted the sleeps before Santa arrived with presents. Children throughout the world look forward to Christmas morning when they waken early, just like my daughter as a child. She was always up first about 5 a.m. She would waken her brothers, my wife and myself, and we all went together to see if Santa had called with presents. This, I am sure, is what happens in a lot of homes with the excitement of Christmas morning. We are fortunate, but many in this country and elsewhere are less so. Some children will waken and have no presents to open, and the family no food for Christmas dinner. During Advent, we have Christmas gift services bringing presents for children less fortunate than ours. We have people who organise the collections for the food bank, so that some may be, after all, able to sit as a family on Christmas Day, enjoying food and fellowship together. Christmas is not just a day of giving and receiving presents and enjoying dinner with family and friends. We should never forget the real meaning of Christmas. We should take time to remember the real reason why we celebrate, the birth of Jesus in a humble stable in Bethlehem to Mary and Joseph. As the Christmas story tells us, there was no room for them at the inn, so Jesus was born in a stable in Bethlehem. He was wrapped in swaddling cloth and placed in a feeding trough. Mary and Joseph had little, and after the birth, a bright star appeared in the sky above the stable and guided the three wise men who brought gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh for the new Messiah. Jesus is the greatest gift given to the world some 2,000 years ago, and we must never forget this gift. I never tire of singing hymn 306 after midnight at our watch night service, and the words of the last verse, "Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing." This is the greatest gift. May God's blessings be with you all at this Christmas time. And let us never forget, as we celebrate with family and friends, the real meaning of Christmas. Alan Richardson.
Our dear session clerk's letter. This is a new venture for me, as I prefer to be working in the background. Being asked for an article for our magazine was kind of out of my comfort zone, and I was at a loss for words. I can hear all who know me saying, "Loss for words? No way." For those who don't know me, a wee introduction. I am session clerk of Ardeer Parish, the other half of the linkage. I had always managed to get away without doing an article, but our editor, bless him, can be a wee bit persistent. So this is the first, and maybe once you've read it, you might persuade him not to ask me again. So the question is, what do you want me to write about? As I'm sure, the articles from the likes of Church Worship, Guild, Boys Brigade and Sunday School have all been received and make for better and more interesting reading. I will be even more serious now and say that I feel I have to mention the difficult and challenging times the church is facing, not only in Stevenston, but also in Scotland. We as a link charge should work together towards union through prayer and faith, believing that God will guide and lead us through the transition. Remembering that all things work together for good to them that love God. If we want to move on, we must be together doing the best we can for the people of Stevenston. May I take this the opportunity to wish one and all a very happy Christmas and good wishes for the year ahead. Kay Tudor, Ardeer Session Clerk.
Ardeer Finance Report. General funding. As indicated at the annual stated meeting in June, the closure of Ardeer from late February to mid-July this year has had a significant negative impact on the level of general income received in the year to date. Despite an increase in weekly offerings following the return to Ardeer building from £484 to £607 per week, general income has fallen short of that needed to meet all our 219 financial obligations. Although we have been able to maintain payments for routine expenditure such as salaries, insurance, energy supplies, man's cost and minor fabric repairs, payments against our ministry and mission allocation fall significantly short of the required £25,489. Based on weekly income levels similar to that obtained during August to October, plus expenditure levels in line with that budgeted for the remainder of the year, it is estimated that we will be in a position to cover approximately 50% of the required 2019 M&M allocation. As we recorded a shortfall of £2,950 against the 2018 allocation, the congregation will show a total defect of £15,000 in M&M payments at year end. A number of initiatives are being undertaken to increase our income level, such as fundraising activities during the latter half of the year. An additional gifted application is currently being prepared, plus we are looking at the possibility of a further stewardship campaign during 2020. Thanks to all who have organised and supported our fundraising efforts and to those who have provided additional income via the gift aid scheme. We hope to hold a further funding event early December. More information will be provided when the details have been finalised. Our largest source of income is obtained through members' offerings. Almost 75% of general income is realised through your offerings, and again, thanks to everyone for your ongoing financial support. We recognise that some of our members have already made a significant increase in the level of regular giving. Unfortunately, due to our falling membership, plus the reduced numbers of people attending worship on a regular basis, our offering total is falling year on year. Faced with increasing costs, the financial burden is resting with a smaller number of people. We know that over the next 3 to 5 years, the Church of Scotland will undergo radical change, which will impact in the number of congregations and buildings, both nationally and here in Stevenson. It is therefore important that we take steps to demonstrate that we are able to halt the fall in and improve on our level of general income. Our lower than anticipated income from offerings and the mounting defect in M&M payments continues to cause concern. If you are able to increase your weekly offering, your support will be most welcome. Also, if you are currently paying income tax and would like to know more about how the church can recover 25% of your offering via gifted, please speak to myself or Margaret Montgomery. Jim Dunmoody, our dear treasurer.
A short summary of the Livingston Finance Report was given by our treasurer, Finlay Kerr. The October figures are provisional, as not all data is yet available, obviously. This quarter can be the lowest point of our cash balance. This year we managed to maintain a month's expenditure in balance, so it did not require money from the reserves. We should end the year more or less even, but with continuing expenses and major fabric projects in the offing, our fabric reserves will be severely depleted next year. The value of the collections is slightly up compared to 2018. The average figure is around about 9%, and the general bequest funds, designated funds, are not changed very much. Don't change very much month by month, and the expenses are standard. Detailed accounts have been provided to the Kirk Session.
Prayer thoughts. We know the Lord's Prayer comes to us after the disciples made the request. Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. That part of the story is very well known. But it is interesting to go and see what else Jesus said at that time. If we turn to Luke chapter 11, we find not only the words of the Lord's Prayer, but further advice about prayer. Verses 9 to 8 give us a story about persistence. At first, it doesn't seem relevant, a tale of asking a neighbour for some food at midnight. In the following verses, the purpose of the story is revealed, verses 9 and 10. Keep on looking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and the door is open to everyone who knocks. The verses raises the question, what are we looking for? What are we asking for? If I am very persistent in asking God for £1 million, does it mean the cheque will drop through my door? This is a very human, a very worldly interpretation, and not at all what Jesus was trying to teach. Rather, Jesus was pointing his disciples to the request that we keep them on God's path and empower them to make prayer requests that would help in the building of God's kingdom. Verses 13 reveals the answer. If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? There then is the request that should be at the core of our prayers, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Having the gift of the Holy Spirit will make us better able to discern what we can do for God. What then will your prayer for? Themes. Approach. Come before God humbly, but in the knowledge you are there as an invitation. Confession. Review your prayer life and ask God to forgive its weaknesses. Thanksgiving. Ministry. Give thanks for Dave Sutherland and his ministry with us and Brian Devlin in his role. Path of Renewals and Priority Areas Conferences. Give thanks for guidance and encouragement given. Blythewood Appeal. Give thanks for the boxes donated and remind us the need it is not confined to Christmas. Use of IT. Give thanks for flexibility this allows and the outreach it offers via the church website. Intercession. Pray that there will be a reinvigoration of the church's prayer life. Buildings. Pray that our buildings will be fit and appropriate to continue our mission in the town. Christmas. Pray that the importance of Jesus' birth will rise above the commercialism. Stevenson. Pray that the churches will be able to respond to the needs of the town's people, particularly those who are suffering hardship. Andrew Tomlinson.
Livingston Players. Livingston Players are proud to present their 2019 pantomime, Mother Goose, based on a script written by Roy McGregor and directed by Anne Cochrane. We have 15 fantastic children in our junior cast, and as ever, they are extremely talented and have been working really hard every Sunday afternoon. They are sure to entertain on stage with an array of songs and dance routines. We are delighted that some of our long-serving junior cast members have joined the adult cast this year. It's always nice to see the progression and development of our juniors as they grow up and become the next generation of principal cast members. I hope you've bought a ticket and are coming along to the show. The pantomime is sure to be filled with laughs, fun, music and dance as we follow the story of Mother Goose. Will our heroes, Johnny and Jenny, live happily ever after? What mischief will Priscilla the Goose, Dorothy Taylor, get up to? Or will the nasty squire, Spurtle, Wilson Kerr, spoil the story? You'll have to come along and find out. This year, the pantomime will take place on Tuesday the 3rd to Friday the 6th of December in Livingston Church Hall. Proceeds will go to Christian Aid. At the time of going to print, we have already sold all our tickets. We are extremely grateful to our audiences who return each year and hope you all can come and support us again. This year, we have installed a new curtain and rail at the rear of the stage, as well as further lighting improvements as part of our ongoing desire to enhance the show. To find out more about us, look at our website, www.livingstonplayers.org.uk. Here, you will find lots of information about our past productions. Our Facebook page and Instagram also have regular updates about Mother Goose and future performances. Simply search for Livingston Players on Facebook or Livingston Players on Instagram. As always, we are very thankful for the efforts of the technical and backstage crew, as well as the work party, who've been busy painting the backdrop and making props to enhance the show. Along with our increasing range of merchandise and ice cream available at affordable prices, our 2019 pantomime is sure to live long in the memory. Oh, yes, it will. We look forward to seeing you there.
Our Dear Guild. Our Dear Guild meets every Monday evening at 7:15 p.m. in Our Dear Church Hall. This is the 97th year since the Guild started in Our Dear. Each week we enjoy speakers telling us about a variety of interesting topics. So far this year, we have had visits from Frank Whitecross speaking about police dogs, Derek Fairclough on Mary's Meals, and George McGrattan on the history of Ardrossan Castle. We look forward to Bob Johnson from the RNLI, Fiona Watson speaking about recycling, and Robert Deans from the Salvation Army. Everyone is welcome to come and join us on a Monday evening. James McClellan.
And now the Livingston Guild report. Our Guild seasons have so far been successful. We enjoyed the quiz set by 121 for Guild Week, and the winning team was Sandra Erskine, Jessie Cowan and Catherine Reid. At the end of Guild Week, we had our dedication service on September the 15th. On the 24th of September, we held our annual tea coffee afternoon in aid of Macmillan Cancer Support, and we have received a thank you card for our contribution of £232.40 for this very worthy charity. Marion Howie spoke of the companions on the way in her life, this being the theme for this session. On October the 8th, we visited Auchengree Farm Shop in Tearam, and the experience of using the Dorai bypass was a bonus. On October the 15th, we heard about the first of two Guild projects we are supporting this session. The project comes from Crossreach and is called Join Up the Dots, which is trying to tackle loneliness and social isolation in Scotland. The speaker was Mary Ford, and we learned how the project is working. We have decided to make up a small booklet listing the many meetings, etc. that are run in the three towns on weekdays. The Reverend Scott Cameron entertained us on October the 22nd by explaining how he has written new verses on Bible themes and set them to well-known tunes. He had us all singing and the ladies enjoyed Scott's visit very much. On 29th of October, Alan Richardson talked about the history of Beath furniture and showed us slides of furniture made in Beath, from grandfather clocks to dining table sets to church furniture. He also told us that he is the present moderator of our Drusen Presbytery. In November, the Guild will be preparing for their contribution to the Christmas Fair on the 23rd of November from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. By the time you read this, the fair will have taken place, and I do hope you attended and made it a success. The money raised will be announced in due course. We have a concert for St Andrew's Day on the 26th of November, with the Largs Accordion Band providing the music. Hopefully it will be well attended. On December the 3rd, the Guild ladies will make their annual visit to entertain the residents of South Beach House. The rest of December will be taken up with the thoughts and stories of Christmas, and end with our AGM and the Christmas service. And that's from Dorothy Pennell.
Now, a note from Liz Canavan, the Livingston Flower Lady. The new flower calendar for Livingston is now being made up, and there are a few spaces. We're looking for volunteers to help arrange and deliver the flowers. If you could help in any way, please let me know. I would be most grateful. I'd like to thank all the ladies for their help over the year. Thanks to everyone for your very kind donations. These go a long way to making sure that someone always benefits from a nice bunch of flowers. I hope you all have a happy and peaceful Christmas and New Year.
Children's Church. As you read this, we'll only be a few weeks away from Christmas, and the children will be practising hard for the Nativity play. It is always a magical time for the children, and hopefully over the next few weeks we can share with them both the fun of Christmas and the true message of Christmas. We were sorry to lose Jean Robertson as our Children's Church Superintendent. She will be a hard act to follow. The children and adults of the Children's Church want to say a huge thank you to Jean for her 67-year service to the young people of our dear church, and then we hope that she enjoys her well-earned rest. During the past term, the children have been hearing about many of the miracles of Jesus, as well as the stories like the Good Samaritan. They've enjoyed stories, crafts, colouring in, quizzes, games and song. Hopefully by coming to the church, they feel part of the church family. We're always happy to see more children on a Sunday morning, so please encourage any children you know to come along.
The Youth Group Report. The Youth Group, run by the three churches, has restarted after the summer. It meets on the third Sunday of the month, with three nights in the High Kirk, three in Livingston and three in Ardea. Once again, the young people themselves have come up with some excellent ideas for the programme. As a result of the grant we received from North Ayrshire Council, 12 people attended a first aid course. Not only did this benefit the youth group, but many of those involved in the youth group are also involved in BB, GB, Scouts, Children's Church, Summer Mission, Pantomime and wider church activities. So it was money very well spent benefiting so many organisations. We were also able to buy some new equipment with the remainder of the NAC grant. On the first night back, we had three new young people attending, so numbers are healthy and hopefully going up. We have a busy programme each night with lots of games, challenges and crazy activities. However, each night there is also a time to stop and think of something deeper. The spiritual input, it takes many different forms to keep it fresh and interesting, so we have had discussions, talks, quizzes and YouTube videos which have put across a serious message in an interesting way. We ask you to pray for the success of this youth group as we try to reach teenagers and young adults and keep them involved in the life of the church.
The Boys Brigade. We have been very busy at 1st Stevenson Boys Brigade since the beginning of the new session. We have taken part in a number of battalion competitions, including chess, where we won 6 medals, pool, Bible knowledge and football. Anchor Boys are held on a Thursday from 6:15 till 7:15 and is for primary 1 to 3. We have been learning to become secret agents, pirates and finding out about food banks. At our pirate party, we learned to talk like a pirate, made pirate hats and had a treasure hunt to win gold coin. Lots of fun was had by all. We have a Disney theme night and Christmas party night still to come. Juniors is on a Thursday from 7 to 8:15 for primary 4 to 6. Juniors have been busy with their badge work and we have learned about the ocean, pollution, healthy eating and recycling. We will also be learning about Remembrance Day in space and a Christmas outing is planned. Company section is from 8 to 9:30pm for primary 7 up. The company section recently had a movie night, learned to make homemade bread, smoothies, learned about the church and the community, and did a ready steady cook challenge night. They'll also be learning about Remembrance and will have their Christmas outing to see Mother Goose at the Bavarian Theatre, Glasgow. We have recently held a sponsor games night to raise funds and we have a Christmas shopping night. The Christmas shopping night will be held on Friday 22nd November at the High Kirk Hall, Stevenston from 7pm to 9pm. Tickets are £3 and this includes a tea or coffee and a mince pie. A great way to do your Christmas shopping with Darcy's Candles, Avon, wreaths, cards and home baking stalls and lots more. We're also selling a Christmas quiz for £1 which can be purchased on a Thursday night or after the service on a Sunday. These should be returned by 22nd November when the winner will be drawn. Eileen McColgan, Captain.
Catherine Reid has been visiting the guides. I recently visited the guides with Dorothy Pennell, who was with me to tell the guides about the Livingston Christmas Fair and to encourage them to get involved in it. We hope that some of the guides will be able to help out in the cafe in the small hall at the fair on the 23rd of November. Dorothy showed them the white aprons she's made for them to wear and the girls seemed pleased to be included. She also suggested they might try their hand at making a Christmas table decoration for the fair, and Joanna, the guide leader, said that if time allowed, she would try to organise this for the girls. As to the visit, we were given a very warm welcome from the guides and their leaders. This session, there are 22 guides on the roll, with 17 present on the night. This was to be a challenge evening, where the guides had a task to work out and complete. The role of a civil engineer was discussed, and the site of the new build at Auchin Harvey playing fields was referred to. The guides were given some balloons and sticky tape, with the instruction to build a tower as tall as possible and to find out which group had built the tallest tower that remained upright. Their second task was to build another tower using plastic beakers, but without touching them with their hands. They were also given some string and some rubber bands to help them with the task. It took the girls some time to come up with a strategy to move the beakers without touching. But eventually, using a type of lasso made from the string and rubber bands, they managed to build their tower. This was a more difficult task than building the balloon tower, but the guides did persevere and eventually managed to achieve their goal. I asked Joanna how she'd managed when our halls were unavailable recently. She replied that there was no problem as the guides were able to have their meetings in our dear church hall. It was an interesting visit, and without a doubt, the team building exercise with the balloons and the beakers was a different type of experience from what I had as a guide many moons ago.
Robbie's Remembrances. Little did I realise when in the mid-20th century I helped my father to replate batteries on the electric vans of Morrison's Bakery. They were ahead of our modern times, weren't they? That one day I'd come to live in Stevenston. This came about because I got a post at Hunterston Power Station, having been at Brayhead Power Station. On coming to Ayrshire, we started to look for a home, but those we fancied were too expensive and many were not attractive to us. However, a school friend of Catherine, a surveyor, suggested we contact Isaac Cherry. We did this and he asked what we could afford and built a house for us for this amount. Thus, in August 1964, we moved into our new home and started looking for a church. The first church we visited was Livingston, and lo and behold, the minister was an old schoolmate of mine, who had also been in Paisley YMCA with me. There was then no doubt that we would join Livingston. After a few years, I became a deacon, and when Alex Milligan moved to Largs, I became clerk to the deacon's court. Subsequently, when Bill Forsyth was no longer able, I became FWO convener and was also made an elder. I have enjoyed the wonderful friendship I have had in both the church and the town, and look forward to more years in both. And that's from Robbie Burns.
Our harvest will be there Christmas. Thank you to everyone who donated to this year's harvest appeal for Blythewood Care. We have transported a total of 67 filled shoeboxes, many knitted items, and £230 to the depot in Glasgow. Blythewood Centre will use our gifts wherever they are needed most to help vulnerable children, adults and families and transform lives around the world. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Psalm 67 verses 1-2. Dorothy Herschel.
Stevenston Community Development Trust. At the end of June, Brian Devlin, the Ardeer Church resource worker, told me about an initiative being promoted by North Ayrshire Council. This was twofold. A, the council had a pot of money, £500,000, to plough into town centre projects within the three towns. They were seeking local community ideas on how to spend the sum prior to 31st March 2020. B, following on from this town centre development spend, the council were encouraging a local development trust to be formed within Stevenston to continue town development work. Brian suggested that I express an interest under the auspices of Livingston Parish Church, Debbie McMail being the Ardeer person. This being something of interest to me, I went along with Brian to the meeting. There have been three or four ensuing meetings that I've attended on my own. Representatives and elected members of the council stated that the council could no longer afford to plough money into discrete projects. The money over the coming years just will not be there for such past practice. There has been considerable and growing use of development trusts over the past 10 years. These are legally set up companies that trade on a not-for-profit basis, company limited by guarantee and not having share capital. The purpose is about citizens joining together to address local issues using self-help, trading for social purpose and ownership of buildings and land to bring about long-term social, economic and environmental community benefit. Out of the meetings held so far, a planning group of Stevenston people have agreed to form a proper company, the name being Stevenston Community Development Trust. This is on the cusp of being registered and once done will allow the work of the trust to begin properly. Through obtaining banking facilities and in provision of trade, employ people and volunteers in work that will develop Stevenston. Two practical events that have taken place are a litter clear-up of the car park opposite the Champion Shell pub and a Christmas pop-up shop that will be located in the library mid-November to mid-December. There is another litter pick-up being organised for late November. The aim of the company is to trade in service provision that is of benefit to the community. Secondly, in the fullness of time, from surpluses generated, disbursement to projects that aid town development should be feasible. Membership of the company is open to everyone who resides in the KA20 postcode. Members will have a vote in who to elect as directors and a say in the nature of work the company is or could be involved in. So this is a kind invitation to look out for over the coming 6 months, this local initiative. The formal creation of the company should be completed by Christmas and then news about it will follow. If of interest to you, apply to become a member. The initiative is community based and we as a church are part of this community. As individuals, we can add to the desire to enhance our town and community through engaging in varying degrees to both church and the development trust, even if only telling someone about it. Ken Gibson.
Get together lunch. The Get Together Christmas Lunch will take place on Wednesday the 4th of December 2019 from 12 noon till 2 p.m. within Our Dear Parish Church Hall. The Get Together Lunch will return the first Wednesday in February, that's the 5th, 2020, and thereafter the first Wednesday of each month. The Get Together Lunches are a chance for all in the community to come along, meet together and have some lunch. Fully cooked spaces in the right places. A report by Sandy Hershaw. A few weeks ago, Dorothy and I attended a conference in Stirling. The conference, Well-Equipped Spaces in the Right Places, was organised by the General Trustees of the Church of Scotland and focused primarily on the role of the General Trustees and on future-proofing the church and its buildings. The day consisted of a number of presentations and round-the-table discussions and activities. What very quickly became apparent is that for the majority of congregations, the condition and maintenance of their church buildings was a main concern, focus and financial outlay. Throughout the day, we explored what we thought a well-equipped space was, and then we were asked to consider what we thought was a right place for that space. As a follow-up to this year's General Assembly, the General Trustees have enlisted the services of a company called Built Environment Forum Scotland, known as BEFS. We were given a presentation from a representative of this company. They have compiled an online questionnaire based around well-equipped spaces in the right places. We were asked to encourage elders to complete this exercise, as completed returns will be correlated to provide the General Trustees with a basis on which to compile a submission for presentation to next year's Assembly. If the Assembly accepts the General Trustees' submission, then that will be the basis on which the National Church will look to the future. What became apparent throughout the day is that we are going to be faced with major changes. We were left in no doubt that the number of presbyteries, as well as the number of church buildings, will need to be drastically reduced within a relatively short space of time. We were also encouraged to have our sessions and congregations draw up a missional statement that focuses on what we envisage we can do for our community as followers of Christ, rather than on what we do or don't do with our buildings. At the end of the day, we were left in no doubt that changes will need to be made, not simply to church buildings and their locations, but to future-proof the church for generations to come.
Views from the pews. 11% of adults in Scotland often feel lonely, and 38% feel lonely sometimes. That's from the Mental Health Foundation. 22% of people in Scotland feel they don't have a strong sense of belonging to the local community. That's a Scottish Household Survey of 2015. 8 out of 10 carers have felt lonely or socially isolated as a result of looking after a loved one. That's from Carers UK. And 200,000 over 65-year-olds have not had a proper conversation with friends or family for a month. That's from Age UK. While I'm not sure exactly what should be done to combat these problems, I do feel that the church should be involved in helping to address them, be it through the planning of events or further work on local outreach. Like most things, these require volunteers, money, organisation and time. Are we up for it? And that's from Alan Kerr. The second view from the pews is an anonymous one. It is an uncomfortable fact that between 250,000 older people will spend Christmas alone. While some may wish solitude, that is not the same as isolation or loneliness. While large-scale communal events would help, they require organisation and cooperation of multiple agencies. You should aim for less ambitious but more local and practical projects. A Christmas meal, perhaps even on Christmas morning. Inviting an elderly neighbour to our homes. Funding gift boxes, for example, Blythewood. for local distribution. These types of activities need planning, organisation and volunteers. Should be started in springtime.
Catherine Burns on pastoral care. It was an honour to be asked to take over pastoral care at Livingston when Jim Wilson could no longer continue visiting members of the congregation. I consider it a privilege to be able to visit members of the congregation in their own homes. By doing this, I have got to know a lot of interesting and wonderful people, and to listen to the stories of their lives is fascinating. The thing I have to remember is that although we are living through troublesome times now, it is as nothing compared to loved ones going off to fight in a war or living through times of high unemployment with very little government help. We have to pray that those times never return. One elderly lady I visited told me that she had spent her working life as a shop assistant in Saltcoats. One of her supervisors must have noticed that she had a very good eye for colour and design and asked her to help dress the shop window. She then became the person who did the window displays and ended up dressing the windows of one of the large stores in Glasgow. Having heard her story, I wanted her to write an article for the church magazine, but she was too shy and unassuming to do it. Another very interesting lady I met when she came to Livingston Church regaled me with her stories about being a clippy on the Glasgow buses. She was fortunate to meet a lovely man who was her driver, and after a short courtship, they married and went on to have four lovely daughters. One story, she told me, illustrated beautifully Glasgow humour. A wee wifey came running up to the bus in the bus station and asked, "Where's the bus going? It's got Lark Hall on the front and Cambus Lang on the side." The clippy replied, "The bus goes fronty-wise, no sidey-wise, so you work it out." I visited a lovely elderly couple in Saltcoats. The husband had been in hospital, and when I asked him about the care he had received in hospital, he said it was wonderful. The nurses especially were so considerate of all his needs. The nurse had asked him if he was feeling frisky. His wife looked at him and contradicted him, saying she did not. She asked if you were thirsty. We all had such a good laugh. Anyone I visit, I find that whatever I give them, they give me even more back. We would love to share the delights of visiting with you, and it would mean so much to so many. God bless you. Catherine Burns.
Visit to Orchard Road Presbyterian Church, Singapore. A number of you may know our son and family live in Singapore, and we went out to visit them in September. We had a lovely time, essentially Monday to Friday babysitting our granddaughter Ellie. One day we visited the National Museum, mainly to see a jungle-themed light audio show that seemed to fascinate Ellie. We came out of to the even, cool, air-conditioned environment into humid 30 degrees centigrade that Singaporeans call normal. We were melting and needed to find somewhere fast to feed and change Ellie. Two doors along was the Orchard Road Presbyterian Church, and looking through the railings, we could see a shaded courtyard with bench tables. We both agreed it would be suitable for a quick pit stop, and then we went and proceeded to tend to our feeding and changing duties. We had just got started when a door opened and an elderly lady invited us inside to complete her baby pit stop. We accepted the invite and entered into an air-conditioned hall that had a group of ladies doing a Bible study. The first thing that struck us was how similar the hall smelt to our own church hall, despite the use of air conditioning. It was a bit of home away from home. The ladies were very kind to us, plying us with tea and coffee, and daily was fed and changed in comfortable surroundings. When departing, the ladies invited us to come to Sunday service. It was 2 weeks later before we took up this further invite. The church service at 9 o'clock a.m. was well attended, with approximately 500 accommodated in the church, and a further 200 as overflow in the video linked hall. The service was mainstream Presbyterian format, delivered by the Deputy Minister, Reverend Dr. Peter Poon, who in turn was assisted by worship leader Deacon Chong Yit Peng. The sermon base was Galatians 6. All in all, an enjoyable service. And were then introduced to the principal minister, the Reverend Dr. Clive Chin, who proudly told us about the Victorian Scottish settlers and servicemen who founded the church. He encouraged us to go through to the hall for a simple meal and a cup of tea or coffee, and then asked us to send his and his congregation's best wishes to our own congregations. The meal I chose was a delightful dish, deep-fried chicken skins, steamed sausage stuffed Brussels sprouts, about the size of a large plum, and noodles. Susan stuck to tea and biscuits. There wasn't too much time for it to linger, and whilst we were having our meal and chatting to churchgoers, the hall was in the process of being set up for what was to follow. Successively Chinese, German and Indonesian language services, finished off by an English language evening service. An uplifting service and a gentle reminder that the church is a worldwide thing. The congregation was about 90% Singaporean, Chinese, and those we spoke with were very aware and appreciative of the church's Scottish roots and Presbyterian traditions. Susan and Ken Gibson.
Church Diary. Sunday the 1st of December is Communion Sunday. Ardeer Parish Church at 10 a.m. Livingston Parish Church, 11:30 a.m. Three Towns Care Home will have a Charis service at 3 p.m. Wednesday the 4th of December, Thistle Daycare Centre at 2 p.m. Sunday the 8th of December will be a gift service. Ardeer Parish Church, 10 a.m. Livingston Church, 11:30 a.m. There will be a carol service in Bonnie Leslie Court at 3 p.m. Sunday the 15th of December, Unity Carol Service at St John's Church at 7 p.m. Tuesday the 17th of December, Service of Quiet at Ardeer Parish Church at 7 p.m. Sunday the 22nd of December, the Nativity Service, Ardeer Parish Church at 10 a.m, Livingston Parish Church, 11:30 a.m. On Christmas Eve, Ardeer Parish Church, 7 p.m, Livingston Watch Night Service at 11:15 p.m. On Christmas Day, Christmas Service will be at Ardeer Parish Church at 10:30 a.m. On Sunday the 29th of December, there will be a joint service at Ardeer Parish Church at 10:30 a.m.